just sit there. Call in now and voice your opinion. 781-837-4900.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And hey, don't forget that indeed we have a Twitter. We're on Twitter. You can find me at Kevin Tocci. And we have a hashtag if you want to make a comment or ask a question of any of our guests, Monday Night Talk. And don't forget also that we have a Facebook page. What's the Facebook page again, Joe?
It is Monday Night Talk.
Yeah, there's more to it on 95.9 WATD. It's okay. I'll have you repeat it next half hour just so you can start getting a little repetition going.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
Joining us right now is a gentleman who has been, I would say, a regular guest of this show. We enjoy having him on, whether it was like the last time we talked a little bit about card maintenance, and even kind of had a Junior D'Amato get in the conversation and finding out what's going on at the Plymouth County Sheriff's Department, down at the jail, the county jail. We have Sheriff Joe McDonald joining us. Sir, how are you?
I am very good, Kevin. Thank you.
I always learn something new about the sheriff every time he comes in. And I learned today that he's a hockey player.
I am.
I knew that, Kevin.
How did you know that?
Because I know some gentlemen that play hockey as well, that either used to or still do play in the league. And so that's how I knew that.
John Cusick.
That's right. Absolutely. Yep. That's how I know, actually.
It's kind of uncanny because when the sheriff had mentioned a particular, I guess it's a televised league that he's a part of, it's kind of prestigious, I think. I think it's pretty cool because folks who know about some of the stuff that I do other than here on 95.9 WATD is I do community television. And that there's a fine product that goes around the South Coast Hockey League.
South Coastal Hockey League. Yeah, they do an amazing job.
Fantastic job. I think Mark Duchamp, who, I don't know if he still writes for the Enterprise. I think he does write for the Enterprise still.
I think he does.
They do a great job producing it. They got a heck of an opening. And if you sit and you watch it, it's almost like you're actually watching something that's, you know, it's right there, semi-pro.
Yeah, that's significant. You know, it's really something. And District Attorney Tim Cruz is actually on the same team as me. Actually, he's the one who brought me into the league.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Now, is it just Tim, or does his brother John also, the plumber, does he play?
No, John doesn't play. I wish he did. John's as much fun as Tim is. They're great guys. I enjoy their company tremendously. I feel like I'm one of the Cruz brothers when I'm with them. But
do you really?
I do.
I can see that. Yeah, definitely.
They're great.
Now, what's the name of the team that you play? In case folks happen to, you know, maybe they catch it on their Access, you know, TV channel.
I'm embarrassed to say I don't want people to see me on the TV playing hockey. But we're the Sharks.
Okay.
Yeah. Timmy Cruz and I are both on the Sharks.
Really? And now how many games in are you at this particular junction of the season?
We are five games in now.
How good's the team?
We're not in last place.
Okay. how many teams are in the league?
There's six teams. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, so you're somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, well, we're working our way to the middle of the pack.
But see, that's awesome. I like these are little things that we don't know. You know, that you're a regular guy, a regular Joe.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
So to speak, anyways.
Yeah.
And one other thing I wanted to just touch base is that there was, through Access Television, I know the town of Hanson just swore in a new police chief, Michael
Mick. That's correct,
yeah. And not only during the selectmen's meeting, I want to say about a month ago, he mentioned you and all the help that you were to him when he was in Carver, but also there was a television show that was produced in the Whitman-Hanson area that he also again mentioned you and how great of a help that you and your department has been to a lot of the local police departments.
Yeah, it was awfully nice of the chief to do that. He really goes out of his way to point out to people, and I very much appreciate the fact that he does so, all the support services that we do. You know, we did a lot of landscaping over there. Our work crews were over
the New Hanson Police Department.
Yeah, getting things done over there. And, you know, I actually went over and took a look, and they really did a beautiful job And we did apologize to the chief for cutting the line on his air conditioner during one of the heat waves. Sorry about that. But we fixed it, and everything is good now, and it looks great. And, you know, Hanson should be very proud. They've got a great police chief in Mike Mix. I knew him as a patrol officer, actually, and later as a DARE officer down there in Carver. What a great career he has had as an officer, and he's a fantastic chief and a great leader. So that's a great, great move for Hanson.
Now, the reason why we had you in here is not to kind of shoot the breeze about your hockey career or you know, some of your interminglings with other law enforcement officers, but to kind of talk about some of the things that are going on, that you're working with other communities, and some of the things that are being offered. Probably the first thing we want to kind of talk about right out of the gate is something that's going on countywide in regards to disposing of medication. This is a program that is, I believe, going to be officially launched this week?
Correct, yeah. There are a few towns that are ahead of the curve and are already doing this, Marshfield being one of them, under the leadership of Chief Tavares, and Duxbury under the leadership of Chief Matt Clancy, also a member of the South Coastal Hockey League, I will note. Matt Clancy is on the Canadiens. funny thing. But yeah, the med return boxes, if people have seen them in those stations or on the news, what they are these secure boxes that are going to be located in the lobbies of your local police station. And when you have unused medications, and many of us have these things at home, and they really can be problematic for individuals who might find their way into those, you know, be they little children or some of the bigger children. You know, we're seeing a lot of the drug issues today. Some of these kids are getting started on the drugs by finding their way into some unused narcotics that you may have left over from a dental procedure or something. The best thing to do with those, you know, they used to say flush them down the toilet, and we now know that there are all kinds of environmental problems. But what ends up happening here is you can take them to your local police department, put them in that secure box, they'll be inventoried by the local police, and they will be transported down to Covanta. This is a great partnership, and I'll mention all the partners in a minute, but they will be taken down to where they incinerate the trash, and they'll be incinerated and destroyed at a very high temperature. So it's a safe disposal. It's environmentally sound to do it this way, and it's a great program.
No, I believe that we have 26 communities that are part of Plymouth County. Are all 26 communities involved, or do you have a majority at this time?
Yeah, not as 26 towns, and then the city of Brockton.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do have the one city, and we're going to be rolling it out in 22 communities. Some of them already have it, Marshfield and Duxbury notably, but we're not going to have it everywhere. And if it is something that people are interested in, they should call their local police department, see if the boxes are there, if we've installed them as of yet. If not, you can go to one of the neighboring communities, and they are certainly more than happy to see that these drugs are disposed of in a safe manner. I would like to mention, if you don't mind, the partnership here. You know, a lot of this is being funded. We mentioned Timmy Cruz.
How did it get started?
Yeah, this is the way it got started. Basically, a lot of great minds came together. You know, Tim Cruz and I had spoken about it. We spoke with a lot of police chiefs, and some of those police chiefs, as we said, have already done this. We decided, we put together this coalition, our local police chiefs and police departments. Mm. The Massachusetts State Department of Public Health has gotten involved and provided us some funding for this. Covanta, which is where we're going to be doing the incineration. And most importantly, you know, not just my office, but the district attorney's office under Tim Cruz has really taken a great lead on this. And they're using a lot of their drug seizure monies to actually fund the purchase of these boxes to be placed in these communities. So it's a great thing. We're using money from the drug dealers to actually combat the drug problem. And I think that's great, and it's forward thinking on Tim's part.
It was this kind of a spinoff of, I know that a lot of communities do the National Drug Take Back Day. Was it instead of having to wait the one day for folks to bring it, you say, why not give someone an opportunity if they want to do it at any time for them to get rid of them and out of the possible hands of somebody who might be an addict?
Absolutely, yeah. That was one of the things that we talked about, how it was great to have that one day, but that leaves 364.25 days for people to get into problems with drugs hanging around the house. And, you know, everyone knows somebody who's got a story about whether it was a child who got into these drugs or someone who came to the house to do some work on it. The first thing they do, my in-laws recently told me a story where one of the workmen asked to use the bathroom. And later on, my father-in-law went in to find out that someone had rifled through their medicine cabinet.
Wow,
luckily for
wow.
them, they didn't have anything that was of interest to anybody, so nothing was taken. But he could tell because all the things were moved around. And, you know, he remembered that the guy had, hey, can I use the bathroom? It happens everywhere and every day.
Is there anything in particular that you're not, that you're, it's suggested that you don't submit to this, to this program? And is, if you are going to submit something, any, as far as label removal, anything that somebody should do if they're going to sure. be giving stuff?
Sure. Yeah, the restrictions on this are not many, but there are some restrictions, and we'll have to think down the road how we can alter these or amend these so that we can have no restrictions. But we don't at this point accept sharps, and what I mean by that are needles and things that are used to puncture the skin or draw blood. Those can be very problematic, and they pose other health hazards themselves. But it is an important thing, and we are going to look in the future, put our heads together again, and figure a way that we can start collecting those. And liquids are very, very difficult to deal with because they generally result in spills. But that, you know, there again, I think it's something that we're going to have to put our heads together and see if there's some way that we can have an alternate program to collect those liquids as well.
Now that this program has been implemented in a bunch of communities in Plymouth County, what is really the next step for this program? Is it just to keep expanding it so that all communities have it, and is this also being used as a model for other counties?
Well, we certainly want to make it a model for other counties, and I know I'm going to carry it back to the Massachusetts Sheriff's Association. Timmy will probably do the same with the DA's Association. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to grow this this program. You know, we're just now getting out into most of our communities. I think, you know, those restrictions, we want to look to get past those so that we can take those types of hazardous materials and dispose them safely and, you know, really be that model so that the other counties, when they want to start such a program, they don't necessarily have to do it incrementally. They can look at how we've done it and basically take our policies, our procedures, and implement them right away.
I guess I would ask you is what's some of the feedback that you've been hearing from some of the communities that have already implemented this?
Sure, yeah. You know, we don't have a lot of data because it is so new, but I will tell you this. From what I've heard of the Marshfield and the Duxbury program, they are extremely well-received, extremely well-run, and people seem very happy and in many instances very relieved to be able to get these substances out of their medicine cabinets, out of their homes, and into some place that they know that they will be disposed of safely and responsibly. It's a great relief.
And I think this is kind of a cog. I mean, the biggest issue that we see these days is drug addiction. And drug addiction usually leads to what, Sheriff?
Oh, drug addiction leads them down to the House of Correction.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah. And believe me when I tell you, we have plenty of people living down there already. You know, we don't need any more.
Joe, did you have something to follow up with?
I was just going to say that I remember when this program is implemented for the first time in Marshfield and the pictures that were posted in the paper of just trash bags full of these pills that were being taken out of the bin for, you know, however long the program had been in place at the time, and it was huge, huge numbers. So I think that goes to a credit to this program and what it can do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good, successful program.
Well, we'll definitely have to have you come back, maybe your next visit, to give an update as to where things stand as you do the launch, I believe, this week, right?
Yes.
Thursday,
yep.
Is it? Was there the third? When is the third?
Yep, third is a Thursday.
Yep,
okay.
Just
Thursday.
Want to make sure I was correct.
Yep.
Correct.
We'll definitely look forward to that information. I guess the other thing that I want to make sure we talk about is I know that you're always doing stuff with working with the citizens. I believe you have like a citizens academy.
In the past, we have, yeah, like many of our local police departments, we've done those.
Yep.
We haven't done them in a while. It's one of the next projects we'll have to work on. You know, we had some serious budget issues for a while, and that put some of those on hold. But we're starting to get back into some of those community outreach things. And the good news is we get many of our employees that want to volunteer their time on these, so they're not costing anything.
Well, the idea was kind of the segue to, you know, the Citizens, you know, Academy to offering self-defense for women. Talk to us about that program that,
yes,
that you guys are offering.
You know, there again, I am so blessed, Kevin, to have so many competent and motivated people around me that, you know, I say often as I travel around that if at any time I appear to be a competent sheriff. It's due in large part to the to the employees that I have backing me up. And for this one, I've got two real special guys who are both corrections officers. Between the two of them, 50 years of experience, Captain Dwayne Forts and Officer John Saris. And they are two mixed martial arts experts. They, as I said, 50 years in corrections, no strangers to dangerous situations, and knowing how to get themselves out of them. They're both certified instructors for the Mass Sheriffs Association in ground combat, you know, dealing with inmate uprisings, things of that nature, self-defense. But, you know, this class is really not geared toward the professional. This is geared toward the layperson. And what made these guys want to do it, and again, they do it on their own time on weekends, and I'm so proud of these guys. They saw many of those news reports that we all saw about many of these attacks on young ladies.
Especially the Boston area.
Yeah, exactly. Just recently. Yeah. Yeah.
And what they wanted to do is they wanted to take it upon themselves to bring, to offer an opportunity for these ladies to come in so they could show some techniques, not necessarily to teach them how to be mixed martial artists, but to show them how to get themselves out of situations and hopefully, you know, get to extricate themselves to seek help or just get away and survive this type of an attack.
Now, from what I understand, this is somewhat of a popular class. That this every time you offer a sign up, people signing up like that.
Yeah, it's been an amazing response because I think, you know, we're not the only ones that see those news reports, and a lot of the ladies are concerned about these things. So every time they have the openings in a class, those classes fill up very quickly. You know, that and the fact that there is no charge for these things. We don't really want to turn anybody away, but we can only hold so many people at any given time.
That you're actually kind of putting a call out there to organizations to contact the Sheriff's Department about running a class, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. And Captain Forts and Officer Saris have said that, you know, they're not averse to traveling, to going to outside groups.
Oh, very cool.
You know, as long as we're able to set up a safe area for us to work on some of these techniques. We do have space down at the Police Academy in Plymouth where we've been doing them up to now. But you may, and some of the listeners may have seen Captain Forts and Officer Saris. They were the two men of mystery who were seated in the courtroom at the trial of Mr. Luke over there, white supremacist.
Correct.
That we anticipated may cause some problems. And those guys were standing by just in case anything happened.
Wow. Okay. Who would this class be appropriate for?
This class would be appropriate for any young lady from about the age of 14 up. I think the high school age is great. College age is great. Anybody who you know, is able to stand, and actually, even if people have disabilities, I would suggest that they would go as well. And, you know, we will look at what their situation is, and I'm sure that the captain and Officer Saris could offer some very sound advice to really any young lady from the age of 14 up.
After the completion of these classes, so what are some of the things that you're hearing from some of the participants?
Well, you know, we've heard some, I've heard some very touching stories and some very horrific stories. I don't know that I want to speak about them in particular.
No.
Because I think...
No, but I'm just curious as to what kind of feedback was received after someone has had a chance to...
The feedback.
Someone has had a chance to take these classes and at least understand how they can better protect themselves if they're attacked.
You know, the feedback has been tremendous. A lot of folk who have, many of whom, you know, I talked about some of the personal stories, many of these people have been victims in the past and have vowed to themselves, never again will they be a victim. And they have come to these classes and they have come away with a newfound feeling of confidence and security. You know, and I would be remiss, I talked about the captain and Officer Saris, Captain Forts and Officer Saris, but we also have one of our female deputies who also just by chance saw what these guys were up to and jumped in. It's Deputy Sheriff Linda Zobisch, and I don't know if Linda's mentioned in the... She's in here as well. Now, Linda is a deputy sheriff with us and has been for about a year or so. But what an interesting history she has. She has got expertise in VIP and executive protection. So she was like...
Oh, wow.
So she could be like Mrs. Smith. Like, you ever see the movie Mr. Smith? Because from what I'm understanding in the bio here, so she's pretty much like a real-life Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, she kind of is. And she, I don't know off the top of my head any of the luminaries that she's bodyguarded. But
maybe Kevin Tachi?
You know what? You
could, somebody famous, not infamous.
But yeah, she does a great job. And one of the things I think that the young ladies find comforting in this class is they walk in and they see these two giant guys, Captain Fortz and Officer Saris, and there is Deputy Zobisch. And she is a petite lady. She's not very big at all. And when they see what she's capable of, they realize what they are capable of. And it's it really is a great class, and it's free, and hope anybody that wants to take advantage of it will do so.
And if you don't mind, can you outline a couple of the topics that are, are covered during these classes?
Yeah, some of the things that that the guys talk about are things, you know, situational awareness, basically. But things like social media distractions. You know, we've all seen the funny YouTube videos where somebody is texting and they walk into an open manhole cover, or they walk into a tree, or, you know, those things, because we don't necessarily think. The world goes on around us. And these, the bad guys, you know, they're like any predator. They look for the weak or the distracted and seek to victimize those individuals because it's easier to do that. So we talk about that. We talk about, like, the buddy system. You know, if you're traveling someplace, you don't necessarily have to go by yourself. Take a friend. That's always a good idea. They talk about some behaviors to avoid being a target. They talk a little bit about bullying, cyberbullying, that type of stuff. And, you know, the practical applications they put down as well. How to target vulnerable areas of the body of someone who is attacking you. How to escape and defend yourself against one of these attackers. Because that's really the biggest thing that we want to encourage here. You know, as I said, we're not teaching these people to be fighters. We're teaching them to be survivors. We want to be able to get them out of that situation. And, you know, basically, a coubaton is one of those things that many people use as a keychain. They're taught how to use one of those to defend themselves and get themselves out of a dangerous situation and hopefully off to safety.
We have just a couple of minutes left, and we've been speaking with the Plymouth County Sheriff, Joe McDonald. I can't walk away from a conversation with you without talking about some of the things going on down at the farm. And if you could also enlighten us about the, I guess you have a page, or do you have a page on the website for the farm?
We, well, I know they've been working on one. If it's up yet, that's a great thing. If it is, I encourage people to look at that.
Okay.
The Plymouth County Farm, we had this past weekend, we had our fall festival. As you know, we have a fall and a spring festival.
Yep.
And, you know, the farm itself is the last county farm in Massachusetts, which I think is, you know, kind of a sad thing. And years ago, it operated as a means by which the inmates would work, raise their own food, so that they would be less of a burden on society. And it was a vocational program. You know, our population has far outstripped our ability to use the farm. It's down to 90 acres because bits and pieces have been chopped off over the years. You know, the new registry of deeds, the new courthouse. But it still is very active as an inmate vocational program. And when I came into office in 2005, the farm was shuttered and scheduled for development. They were going to subdivide it. You know, we put a stop to that. We actually worked very hard with the county commissioners and our legislative delegation to get conservation restrictions put in. And the employees here again, you know, the farm, I have so many people who send me emails that call to tell me what a wonderful experience. And again, my hope was initially just to save the farm, but it has become so much more through the vision of our employees over there. Our farm director, Ted DeCristofaro, our captain over there, Wayne DeSilva, our captain down at the livestock, Dan Callahan. These guys have really taken, we've got a petting zoo there. The racehorse retirement program, the retail sales, and all the proceeds from those sales and from the farm festival days goes to fund inmate programs. So we, you know, it's still in many, many ways the farm does get the inmates to carry their own weight in addition to being a vocational program. But I couldn't be more proud of the guys in the farm.
If folks want to find out more of what's going on with the Sheriff's Department, maybe sign up for the newsletter. How can they do that?
They can do all of those things at our main website, which is www.pcsdma.org. And if you're quick, those initials are PC Plymouth County, SD Sheriff's Department, MA for Massachusetts.org.
And we want to give a thumbs up to Karen Barry, who does a great job, and we talk every so often and gives ideas for us to kind of sit for talking points, things that are going on. So kudos to her for helping us with some of the conversational pieces here.
Yeah, she's the best.
So we give thanks to her. We'll step aside here on Monday Night Talk, and when we come back, we're going to speak with a local author, Gina Fava, in just a moment. Stay tuned.